You're listening to Megiddo Radio. Megiddo Radio is a radio ministry of Megiddo Media. For more, visit our website at MegiddoRadio.com. That's MegiddoRadio.com.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome. This is Paul Finn with Megiddo Radio for the 6th of August, 2019. Thank you all for tuning in. On tonight's program, we're going to be dealing with Todd White. And I said last Friday we're going to be covering him, but there was other topics that came up. And usually by the time I'm going to talk about Todd White, and then when the time comes, I almost try to talk myself out of it. It's not the most enjoyable material to go through, but I just pray by God's grace that it can be beneficial to somebody. I especially think of sometimes, there's people in organizations like that. I think of Costi Hinn, who was, part of the whole Hinn family. And in case anybody is not aware, Costi Hinn is the nephew of Benny Hinn. And sometimes we can be a bit, that's all that, and let's not deal with that. Lord willing, hopefully some of these programs on this issue can be of benefit to people in and around and involved in the prosperity gospel. And pray by God's grace that it will be used for his glory to deliver people from that deception. Now, just by way of announcements, if you're listening to this through Sermon Audio or through iTunes or whatever else it is, through the podcast after the program, you can listen to this program live every Tuesday and Friday via the YouTube link, which is provided at MegiddoRadio.com/live. And you can also participate in the chat room if you are not doing so already. And if anybody wants to and or can and feels led by the Lord to support the program, you can do so through PayPal. And MegiddoFilms@gmail.com is the email address if you want to do it through that. There's also a Patreon account, Megiddo Media. And basically, at the moment, it's not quite even covering costs for the website, so that's why I just really started the last few programs announcing that, so that people are aware of if they really want to help out. I think sometimes people might think that if you don't say anything, which I don't think I did for the majority of the programs over the last 8 years, but there is a need for support for various costs that come up. Most of them came up over the summer. Also, keep in your prayers. I'll be preaching on the topic of limited atonement at Loch Brickland Reformed Presbyterian Church tomorrow, and appreciate your prayers for that. And I'm going through a series on TULIP, Calvinism. The last 2 weeks we looked at T and U, that's total depravity and unconditional election, so I'd really appreciate your prayers as I preach on that tomorrow. It's an important issue, and hopefully by God's grace do it some degree of justice. And and I'll be doing all the way through to Perseverance in the Saints. So I'll be doing tomorrow and the Wednesday after that. So if you are from Northern Ireland and you are near Loch Brickland and you do want to learn about the issue of limited atonement, or and if you just happen to be around, you can call in 8 p.m. Loch Brickland Reformed Presbyterian Church, and you're more than welcome. It's kind of more or less a prayer meeting, but it's the midweek, and we'd love to see you there if you can go. So, but to be honest, if you're closer to your local church, support your local church. I always think about things like that. Don't drive crazy distances to hear me talk. That doesn't make any sense. Go to your local church, support your local church, be in prayer, go to the midweek meetings, wherever you are in the world. I think that's it. I'll be doing a part of you uploading a vlog later, and I'm going to leave that topic of the cathedral in Rochester that's opening a golf course, but we'll leave that for today for the sake of time. I'm going to do that as a separate vlog later. Now, so people have been asking me for years to do a program on Todd White. This is not the first program I've done on Todd White, by the way. And I haven't I did one whole program on him. I think it's episode 378. If you go on MegiddoRadio.com and type in Todd White, I did a program on how he denies that Jesus came as God. According to him, he came only as man. And I try really, really hard not to take him out of context. It's absolute heresy. So if you want to listen to that, I mean, by itself, that is a major, major problem. But I'll be covering, he did an interview there recently at the 2019 Southwest Believers Convention, which is hosted by Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and Tim Fox is the host, and talks about his testimony. We'll go through a number of things, and even give some commentary on the danger sometimes of having a big flashy testimony, and the dangers of glorifying your past. And look, I know from that myself, because there's a danger of, oh yeah, I did this and I did that, and it should never be. We should always, somebody gave me a very good analogy over the weekend actually about this, that our testimony should be like an iceberg, but you know, like 90% is under the surface, and 10%, and I think he was like, you know, was like 10% should be about a past, basically what the Lord has delivered us from, and our new life in Christ should be now our major focus. Now, greetings everyone joining in the chat room, and if you got any questions during the program, I can't promise, sometimes I miss them. Don't be offended. Sometimes I just don't see them, and my wife says to me afterwards, did you see that question in the middle? And I said, I didn't. So apologies if I miss any questions, but ask them away, and I'll do my best to answer them by God's grace. Now, we've got a lot to get through, so this is, change the camera angle here, and we're going to switch over, and, why has that disappeared? Yeah, that's important. Anyway, so, right, we're going to look at Todd White's interview during Kenneth Copeland Ministries and what he says about Kenneth Copeland. Some of this won't be new, but we'll comment on it, and hopefully will help some people. Especially, look, I do not want to be mocking you if you are a follower of Kenneth Copeland or whatever. I believe, if you are a follower of Todd White or Kenneth Copeland, I am concerned for the condition of your soul. Okay? And I pray by God's grace that something I may say on tonight's program may make you at least question. And don't listen, I suppose, the old cliche, don't listen to anything I'm saying, but go to the Word of God and be a Berean and test all things. Even Paul commended the Bereans for comparing what he said with the Word of God, even though he was an apostle. So I pray by God's grace that you'll take on board these things. I say that because I just think there's a lot of mocking of people caught in this deception on the internet. I think there's a lot of great websites that have clips of these things. But one of the main reasons I wanted to cover this is because I've never seen an in-depth refutation of Todd White. I'm not saying that they don't exist. They probably do, and I'm probably just not aware of it. But I just sometimes think that getting the popcorn out and just mocking them for an hour or whatever else it is, we shouldn't get our jollies out of this. This should break our hearts that people are involved in this. So just that by way of introduction.
It's going to be really, really good tonight. Our first guest tonight is someone that is making a huge impact.
Oh, sorry.
At around the world. And I'm not going to take any more time to introduce him. This is Todd White, everybody. Welcome, Todd White. Brother, I don't know anybody that's probably more busy than you are. Tell me where you've been in maybe the last week.
Well, I just got back. Actually, we're in the process of adopting another baby.
Wow.
And so he is 16 days old today. His name's Asher Solomon.
That's awesome.
He's beautiful, man.
Yeah.
So we just got back from doing all that.
That's
right now.
Awesome. Lifestyle Christianity. You got the school. You bought the property here locally in Fort Worth. You had to use your faith to get that property, didn't you?
Yeah. And Brother Copeland was a huge just inspiration.
Yeah. Yeah.
Helping me have the faith to actually believe for it. And we have $11.2 million mortgage right now.
Right.
But we stepped into that property. Everybody said it'd be impossible. We did.
I think one of the things I want to emphasize here today, because I think when you look at Todd White, when you look at the Bill Johnson of Bethel, Reading, there's a lot of people who wouldn't go near Kenneth Copeland or Benny Hinn or name or Kenneth Hagin or, you know, name the person, right? They've got a track record. There's a generation of young people who've grown up in the church, whether saved or unsaved, whatever the case is, but they've kind of gotten a bad taste about that prosperity preacher who's living the lavish lifestyle and all this kind of stuff. What they don't, what they're not against is somebody, you know, being really, really generous and all this kind of stuff. And they want a more authentic experience, I suppose you could say. This is kind of the generation we're in. So the Kenneth Copelands and the Kenneth Hagins and all those kind of guys, they don't really appeal to the 20-something or 30-something-year-old generation, especially the ones that have come from rough backgrounds. Todd White does. Todd White does very, very much because he just... I remember the first time there was a bit of controversy a couple of years ago over his... really, really poor explanation of the gospel that, what was it, that heaven had to go bankrupt and that you were worth so much and that's why Christ died for you and all that kind of thing. I didn't get involved in it because I'd never heard him before. I didn't really know how influential he was. But if you look at his YouTube page, I think it's pretty common for a lot of those videos to get like six figures. I mean, like, I think it's like hundreds of thousands. Some of the views have been a couple of hundred thousand views on some of these videos. So my point is, Todd White and Bill Johnson and all these kind of people, they are repackaged versions of Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland. Now, somebody in the chat room said, you know, do I think that Kenneth Copeland and Todd White mean well? Kenneth Copeland, no. Benny Hinn, no. The reason is, I'm not even talking about Todd White here. Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn, and there's a couple of other guys like that, when they say completely different things depending on who they're being interviewed by. And that's why I don't believe they mean well and are just deceived or whatever. Todd White, I don't know. I don't know. Is he deceived and this is just, he actually believes this? Do you know what? It's actually probable, okay? But it makes no odds whether they quote unquote mean well. It's dangerous going there. We can't know people's hearts and all that, but we can know a tree by its fruit. And we're talking about obvious fruit here. We're talking about things that attack the gospel and the very core of the gospel message. And these people are people who fill their own bellies. I would be massively skeptical that Todd White means well, but let's, for the sake of argument, pretend that he means well and he's been duped and deceived by Kenneth Copeland. Let's try and give the best motivation possible. Whenever you're doing a critique, if you're ever doing a critique, do that. If you're not sure, just say, you know, they probably mean well, they're probably actually trying to help people, okay? But it doesn't matter. If what they're saying and doing attacks the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with the prosperity gospel, which is, it's such a strange one. You kind of go, Todd White and Kenneth Copeland, but then you peel away the outward layers of he's got dreadlocks and he dresses kind of, you know, more like, you know, somebody out of maybe Korn or some kind of metal band like that or whatever the case is, rather than somebody who's a prosperity gospel preacher. Once you strip away that, the core of their message is really the same. It's just the delivery might be a bit more edgy and connect a bit more with this generation. But peel it away and the message is pretty much the same thing, which is really tragic.
Even own a building. We actually didn't have offices. We were working out of our homes. And the Lord spoke to me back in 2000, 2015 to move here. 2016 we did. 2016 we found the property. We waited until it's actually 1 year. Actually, brother.
Not to labor on this point too much, because this is something we spent a lot of time on the program talking about. Sola Scriptura, the sufficiency of Scripture. In the charismatic movement, the Bible is really just a kind of a launching pad. You see, they'll never stay in the Bible. They'll use a Bible verse and they'll hop away from it, is the best way I would describe it. They almost like jump away from it to their actual authority, which is voices that they believe that they're hearing. Yes, there were Old Testament prophets who heard from God, but it was never normative, ever. It was never normative. There were unusual periods in time in history. They were tested by signs, miracles, and wonders. What they're doing is parlor tricks, stuff that can be reproduced by hypnotists. Darren Brown did a program called Miracles for Sale. Not a Christian, and I don't approve of his methods. You know, you kind of go, is he kind of deceiving the people? But whatever the case is, from his documentary, you can learn a lot about the hypnotist skills, you could say, used by people like Todd White, the leg lengthening trick, and it's a lot of it's psychological manipulation, little trigger words, buzzwords, pressure. They know how to work a crowd, and I did a program, I think it's episode number 175, I don't know why I remember the number of that, but go to MegaRadio.com, and it's called Charismatic Hypnotists or something like that. I can't remember the exact title of it, but I think it's episode 175, where we actually go through things that can be learned from Darren Brown, who is the hypnotist, not a Christian, by the way, but he kind of exposes in his own way a lot of the prosperity gospel, the signs, gifts, miracles, was fake. Anyway, I don't want to labor too much because we have a lot to get through.
But prophesy that in 12 months, this property will be, that this mortgage will be no more. And we're in our 12th month right now. As a matter of fact, today is 12 months. No joke. He said, you can mortgage this property. You can get a mortgage on this property for 12 months. And I said, you've never said that to anybody before. He said, the Lord just spoke to me. I said, we're on it. And so we're in it right now, and we're believing Jesus. And it's amazing. But without...
You're believing Kenneth Copeland. There's nothing in the scriptures that says, hey, Todd White, go buy that building. Okay, so... I say this by virtue of the fact that in the modern church, it seems to be a lot of, you know, people say, oh, he's following the Lord. By what standard? And we know people who are following the Lord, while we do this imperfectly, of course, because we're sinners saved by grace, but at the same time, those who love God and keep his commandments. If you love God, you keep his commandments. And what does love of God look like? It looks like commandment keeping. That's what it looks like. Again, we never do this perfectly. We can't be sinlessly perfect. I say that because this is taught, and this sinless perfectionism is taught as well, and that you can live like Jesus, according to Todd White. I don't even think we're going to get a chance to look into this, but there are clips of that around. I don't know how much we'll get through today. I mean, one of the whole reasons I'm doing this is because I want a copy of... something that could possibly help someone who's involved in Todd White, either ministries that are like that, there's ones all over the world, or, you know, his stuff himself. And there's stuff I was around when I was first saved for the first 2 years without even realizing it. Not necessarily around directly, but stuff that I would listen to, stuff that would have influenced me. There's people I listened to back in 2009, 2010, when I was a new believer in Christ. I mean, some of these people, I used to listen to, I'll give you an example. I used to listen to some of the guys now who are in, and I've done a program on this, you know, Skywatch TV, and they haven't been around very long. But they're promoting all sorts of ludicrous things about, you know, the Trump prophecies and, And apparently this guy, Mark Taylor, actually demonstrated himself that he's a false prophet because he even acknowledged that he, even if you take his own, what he says, compared to what he claimed, he's, you know, but he reinterprets what he said, but I digress. But they're promoting all kinds of crazy stuff. Crazy, for want of a better term, but just, like very Nostradamus kind of stuff. You'd be amazed how much mysticism and, look, the devil loves to get you away from the Word of God. You know, with buzzwords like, oh, you don't want to keep God in the box or anything like that. Or, now, some people may use that phrase meaning well. I'm not saying to suspect everybody uses that term. But at the same time, the Lord, or Satan himself wants to get you away from God's Word. And he wants you to get following voices. He wants you to get following your feelings. You think you're hearing a voice from the Lord, perhaps, and really it's your own heart telling you what you want to hear, okay? And by the way, just because somebody's a charismatic, I just want to emphasize this. It does not mean, just somebody's a charismatic and caught up in this movement, it does not mean that you're lost, okay? But this is not a good place to be. This is not a good place to grow in grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you believe the things that Kenneth Copeland teaches, I would be, especially to the jot and tittle, you don't know Christ. It's another gospel entirely. Same with Todd White. But there's people who are in movements and they don't quite understand the fullness of exactly what Todd White is teaching. Now, having said that, you might even include somebody like Michael Brown about that, the well-known apologist. But you shouldn't be teaching God's word if you are that naive and lacking in discernment, okay?
Copeland. Without Brother Copeland, I don't know where we'd be. And I just want to thank him from the bottom of my heart for giving me that boost of faith kick in the pants. You got to believe God. And honestly, what a father and an amazing mentor. An amazing man of God, and I'm just so thankful for the ministry.
It wasn't very many years ago when you met him.
Yeah.
When you had the opportunity to meet Brother Copeland.
Yeah.
And he's spent a lot of time with you since then.
Yeah.
He's kept you pretty close. You've kept him pretty close.
Yeah.
Why have you done that?
I just, honestly, for me, I really believe that it's time for the fathers and the sons.
Yeah.
And the daughters and the mothers, and it's time for generations to come together and run as one, and not try to go ahead of somebody, but actually run together, because we can't finish this race unless we run together.
And
also, by the way, for both Todd White and Kenneth Copeland, that joining together, we need unity and all this kind of stuff, that is not just talk about the Christian. They're including the Roman Catholic Church with that. And Todd White, we don't have time to go through it in this program. But there has been times when Todd has prayed with Roman Catholic priests, and he has the charismatic movement, right? There's a very close relationship with Rome. I don't know. I think that's gone back since the 60s. The Pentecostal movement was very schismatic at the beginning in 1901 and 1906, and they would break from each other, and you got the Assemblies of God and all these different denominations breaking out from it. But from about the 60s onwards, when you got, I can't remember the Episcopal priest who got that experience of the so-called baptism of the Holy Spirit. There was kind of a movement that broke up from Van Nuys, California. I did a movie on it years ago. From that time, the movement got very much more experience-based rather than focusing on the doctrine that led to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or what they believed it was anyway. So it became very ecumenical, very inclusive of Rome, very inclusive of all sorts of things. As long as you shared in that experience, wealthy businessmen got involved, people were involved in the early Azusa Street Revival, were now pumping money in, people were involved in, I think like Charisma started around then, if I'm not mistaken, I might be wrong about that, but a lot of these magazines started, Damon Shikarian, there was a lot of money pumped in, And they really believed in all this kind of stuff. Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International was one of the groups that funded a lot of it. It was just kind of why it exploded. And one of the things, one of the reasons the charismatic movement spread across denominational lines is they didn't go through the ministers. They weren't, it wasn't like the Pentecostal movement, which kind of stayed very contained. But the charismatic movement was, through various events, trying to, for want of a better term, recruit converts to their experience.
Yeah, and we have things that we can learn from each other and grow, and man, I need it. I need it so much. And I'm in my prayer closet on a daily basis just crying out for, I need Jesus, and I need to understand His Word. And honestly, Brother Copeland's a wordsmith, and he is so versed in the Word, it's incredible. Yeah. And I'm so thankful to be able to be in His life, and, and I'm so thankful that He's in mine. And we just, it's love. I love Him with all my heart. I love the ministry with all my heart.
He's often said that you have something He needs. And that has to be humbling for you to hear that.
Oh, my God. I just get on my knees and say, just pray for me. Just pray for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lifestyle Christianity. You know, I know you have a heart for people in general. But I know you have a heart for people that society says are worthless. Because you came from a background of being an atheist, being a drug addict, drug dealer. You've done it all. You did it all for 22 years. Yes. Ran from God, and God radically changed your life.
Yes.
And now you are going after the people that society says don't waste your time on.
Why?
And just to point out here, by the way, all Christians, no matter what your background is, you should try and reach everyone. Be they drug addicts, be they farmers, be they whatever. Whatever your background. And I know when you see people from the background that you came from, you know, heavy drinking in my case, and metal bands and rebellion against God and things like that, you feel... but look, it's the same gospel message for all of us. And we, you know, for all the sin and fall short of the glory of God, there's the general revelation from nature that reveals to us of the heavens declare the glory of God, and the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven above against all unrighteousness. So I don't like when ministries get too specific into various types of sins. And it's the same gospel message. All of sin and fall short of the glory of God. But we shouldn't be snobbish and ignore anybody either. So I say this in case there's people who are listening who are Todd White supporters, and they say, you know, we've got, you know, there's no doubt, right, we should be reaching them, but not with the message of Todd White, with the message of Jesus Christ. They are different.
Gosh, it's hard to talk about. Yeah. Nobody's worthless.
Yeah.
And if we would understand that the cross paid the price for us. He paid the price for all of us. And people that are lost and are broken, it's just because they don't know who they are.
Yeah.
They don't understand who they're created to be. And on that cross, Jesus...
And his gospel starts off at the wrong place. There's elements of truth in what he's saying. And I think there's a problem, you know, the internet has gone, Todd White's wrong. You see, the problem is when you're going to get Todd White fans who will pick up on the element. No, it's not even a half truth. It's like a quarter truth, which is still a lie. What I mean by that is, yes, our life has value or worth because we've been created in God's image. Apart from God, we are worthless. We are dead dogs. We are worms in the dirt. We are nothing without God, okay? But our life has value and worth and meaning because we've been created in God's image. That's why there's the death penalty against murder. Genesis 9:6, because it's an attack on the image of God, okay? But that value is coming from God, okay? But he's starting in the wrong place. It's like, you know, like, if you just realized who you were created to be, it starts off and makes man the most important rather than what is man's chief end. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. It's all centered around God. Even our evangelism, the primary reason we go out to evangelize is not even to rescue sinners from hell. That's not even the primary reason. That's a reason we go and evangelize. That's a reason. But we go out to glorify God in our evangelism. Whatsoever we eat or drink, everything is to the glory of God. Because if you start off there, if you start off with man, your gospel will become imbalanced. It will lean towards men. It will appeal to the will of man, the will of the flesh, the will of man. And it will lean towards the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, eventually, going far enough, which is where it has gone with the Todd White and the Kenneth Copeland stuff, because it is so appealing to the will of man, not the will of God. Our evangelism, salvation must start off with who God is. And the problem is, as Paul Washer one time said, God is good. And the problem is, you're not. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Rather than, oh, you're worth so much, you're so amazing, you know how... No! If you're outside of Christ, the wrath of God abides on you, and what you should spend, if you're street preaching or whatever else it is, and you're talking to people who are mainly outside of the church, then you've got to emphasize the fact that they are lawbreakers and bring the law to bear on the conscience, because that's what the law, one of the uses of the law is, for lawbreakers, for, I can't remember, it was the start of, I think it's 1 Peter chapter 1. Not Peter, sorry, Timothy. And what Todd is saying is very, very appealing to people who have come from drug backgrounds, alcohol backgrounds, because many of them don't feel loved by their parents. There can be reasons like that. And I'm not trying to create kind of a sob story. A lot of them came from difficult homes. Let's be honest. You know, broken homes. This is why drug addiction is so prominent and growing at the moment, because homes are fractured. And when you hear Todd bringing this, you know, there's a father who loves you just as you are. Really? That's really, really appealing to those people. But it's not what they need to hear. Now, when you have turned to Jesus Christ, when you have placed your confidence, your hope, and Christ, his righteousness is imputed to your account, and when God the Father looks upon you, he delights in you, not because of you, but because of Christ. You become a sweet-smelling aroma, no longer a stench before God. So you can't start off with, there are blessings and encouragement for God's people who are in Christ, but there's, for somebody outside of Christ, there's no hope. Going around telling people God loves you and, you know, you just don't realize who you are, that's not the gospel. Yeah, people are going to love to hear that, of course. Because most people love themselves. And they think they're fantastic. Or it might make them feel better about themselves. Or, of course, it raises their self-esteem. But is there any place in the scriptures? Can you think of anywhere in the scriptures? This is common even outside of Todd White. This is why I'm saying this. You'll get people who are not raging heretics who evangelize like this. How many Arminians? Well-meaning, and they will lead people to the Lord. I'm not saying they don't. Will go around starting off with God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. How do you mean God loves you? And if God loves that person who's outside of Christ, well, why is there a danger of them going to hell? Is it the love of complacency in which God delights in his children? Can't be, because the wrath of God abides on them. We've got to think about these things. We've got to think about the gospel. We can't think about the gospel in this sense. You know what? Well, I'm saved. I know the gospel. I'm fine. Now we're going to move on to deeper things. We don't need to know about that stuff. This is how we get here. And you know what? Many of us in various church bubbles might not have a clue that teachings like this take place. They do. And they take place because often the Reformed Church isn't teaching a lot of the things, and nature abhors a vacuum, and this stuff floods in. And we don't know how to respond to it. Because we've got today, even in the more Orthodox churches, we've got such a shallow understanding of the gospel. We will never cease, if we're smart and if we're wise, to learn and to study about the gospel. Because if we understand the gospel more deeply, we'll know that there's a problem with this. Sorry, a bit of a rant there.
Hung there, guilty, so that we could be innocent in the eyes of the Father. Mm-hmm. And the cross is the most amazing thing. So for me, I couldn't read. I couldn't focus. I couldn't comprehend. I've been in and out of prison, in and out of jail, extradited across the U.S. twice, kicked out of the military, grew up in a children's home, drugs from 11, 22 years of mayhem, and then Jesus. He shows up in the midst of a drug deal when I'm getting shot at from 10 feet away. They unload the 9mm at me, and I'm not a Christian. I'm not going after God. I'd incorporated Jesus into my life to see what I could get from him. Mm-hmm. But this isn't Jesus incorporated. It's fully surrendered. And so that night when the gun blast came out from...
I can't really speak to that, but this whole thing about Jesus turns up, and I think we can think that things happened. I mean, in all of these experiences, there's about three possibilities, and none of them is that Jesus turned up physically or spiritually. Well, God is omnipresent, of course, but at best, it's an enthusiastic delusion. We have God's word. God is not the author of confusion. Are we to expect more revelation? Because whenever revelation was given, even the stuff that isn't written down, the stuff that was preached by the prophets in the Old Testament, it was authoritative and binding on the church. Not everything was written down in the Old Testament. We know this, okay? But it was authoritative and binding because it came from God himself. Now we have what we need in the scriptures. We have everything that we need, you know, the sufficiency of scripture taught in places like 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16.
10 feet away, right outside my window, I heard a voice say, "I took those bullets for you. Are you ready to live for me yet?" And I didn't know it was his voice. I thought I was dead. I thought I'm going to meet whatever's next. And if it's God, he's going to be mad at me. If this pastor I met, if it's his God that he's talking about, I'm in trouble.
Right.
And as I'm driving out of town, I realize I'm not hit. I did all these drugs and couldn't get high, and that voice killed my buzz all night long. I get home that night, and the girl that I'd been with for 9 years, atheist, had a 7.5-year-old daughter too. I threatened her life for 7 years. If she left me, I'd take her out, take him out, take her out, and take myself out. That night, I get home.
I don't want to be playing psychologist or anything like that, but I notice with a lot of these people with these backgrounds that claiming to be hearing voices, there's usually a lot of psychological issues. Do you ever notice that? Even some Catholic mystics, you'll see them going through tremendous pain and suffering and things like that. It opens you up to more of the stuff. You're more desperate. And I know because I was in a desperate place myself. I praise God that I was actually saved. But in those situations, you may not reach for the gospel. You may not trust in the gospel. You may trust, you know, in desperation, you just grab hold of anything. There's similarities as well with Mark Taylor's being sick for a while, kind of suffering, but in him it's heavy drugs and things like that. No, it's not to say that people from those backgrounds don't get saved and become just normal members of the church. You know, it's something we should work on as well, you know, in the Reformed Church, that no matter who they are, no matter what their background, we have Christ in common. And we should make them feel welcome. Now, then again, I'm really blessed at the moment in our denomination. I'm going around to different churches because I'm training for the ministry. And I'm just doing pulpit supply a lot of the time. And people going on holidays and I'm filling in for them and whatnot. And just having met so many wonderful, warm and loving people, really blessed, really been a challenge to me. And that's, we've got to be hospitable. We got to be that if there's somebody from that background saved, or even not saved, you know, but is willing to listen to the gospel, that we will, I don't know, maybe even invite them into our homes if it's so appropriate, or go for coffee with them and share the gospel with them and make sure that we're not one way with one person, one way with another person. Do you know what I mean? Jesus met with all sorts of sinners, tax collectors and people who were, you know, seen as the scum of society back then. But the issue was, were they penitent? We're not were they coming to hear the gospel? We're not talking about people who are, you know, trampling the word of God under their feet, just blaspheming it. That's when the conversation does not glorify God, and you have to cut off the conversation.
The bullets in my car, and I'm so afraid, and she says, get out. I left. I went to rehab, Teen Challenge. I went in there, and I was there for 2 months. The Bible opened up, became the first book I could actually read. And I met Jesus and 3 nights in a row, 3 dreams, 3 nights in a row. He told me to go home. And when I got home, I was completely free from drug addiction, alcohol, anger, pornography. All of it was gone. And when I saw this amazing woman, I told her how sorry I was. I held my daughter for the first time as a dad.
You've got to be very careful of testimonies that just say, boom, all my sin is gone. Now, he does believe in a doctrine of sin is perfection, and he doesn't sin anymore. He said it in other places on TV programs and things like that, because they have a warped view. I was even listening to Chris Volaton, who is the, I think he's the associate pastor at Bethel Reading, has a kind of a similar enough teaching on that you can go sinless and things like this. We've got to be very careful of testimonies where, well, you know what? All my sin is gone. Everything's gone, gone, gone. The Lord does change you. And if you've been saved like from a background like that dramatically, there's going to be a big change. There was for me, okay? There was for Saul on the road to Damascus, later Paul, right? He went from persecuting the church to promoting and preaching the gospel. Massive change, okay? But Paul, or the Apostle Paul, or anybody else for that matter, still struggled in areas. Romans chapter 7, for example, read through that chapter, and you'll get a glimpse of him as a believer. So, if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves. We make God a liar. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8, 9, and 10 goes through that. We sin. We will not be sinless this side of eternity. No way. If we say so, we make God a liar. And the truth is not in us. Okay? One of the things, if you're struggling with assurance, read 1 John. Prayerfully on your knees over and over. Not just the only book you read, but really, really focusing on the questions it brings up about what a true believer looks like. And then it also gives parts which will encourage you. Like, I think 1 John 2, verses 15, 16, 17, I say unto you, little children, and he kind of gives these encouragements. And grab it there. Because the Word of God, I think all of us will either swing towards the extreme negative or the extreme positive. And, you know, as covering this kind of stuff, my tendency is probably to go towards the negative. And, you know, maybe in my preaching, maybe I have to work on being more encouraging. I think I do need to really work on that. There's always going to be areas we all need to work on. But it says here in John the Apostle, in the midst of all these admonitions, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, this will Now, by this, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And then he says, if he does not keep his commandments, verse 4, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, but we also know that we do sin. Verse 8 of the previous chapter, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. But then it also gives encouragement. And I'm trying to work on that myself, right? I'm trying to be, we should all work on being more encouraging to our brothers and sisters in Christ. There should be both there. I tell you, brethren, if you are constantly banging on about negative stuff, be prepared for people to turn you off. Because you know what I mean? It's like somebody predicting bad weather all the time, but sometimes gets it wrong. Look, we've got to be encouraging, and that should be our default within the body of Christ. Not ignoring this stuff, and we're covering it here, but it says here to encourage. John says in chapter 2, verse 12 of the first epistle of John, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. For his name's sake, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one, and so on and so forth, until the end of verse 14. And the preach to that was really, really encouraging in the midst of that. So we've got to be careful when we're talking about the difference between, you know, like false teachers. I believe these are Kenneth Copeland. We're not looking at right now. We're looking at Todd White. We'll look at Kenneth Copeland in a second. I believe both of these men are false teachers, false prophets, for many reasons. One of the reasons is they make prophecies that are false. Deuteronomy 13, Deuteronomy 18 makes it clear that they are false prophets. But they're also false prophets in the sense in which they teach a false gospel. And Galatians 1, 6, is it 6, 7, 8? It's gone blank here. Galatians chapter 1. This is important. It's important that we're not throwing around the term false teacher as well. You know, that everybody's a false teacher, or somebody disagrees with you on something, therefore they're a false teacher, or you're trying to work out their motivation. But if somebody teaches a false gospel, Paul is explicitly clear. He says in verse 6 of chapter 1 of Galatians, I marvel that you are turning away so soon after him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which we have received, let him be accursed. Let him be damned. Okay?
I realized what it meant to be a father.
Yeah.
As I looked at my girl, she told me that she forgave me when I went away. And
yeah.
We got married 4 days later. We've been married now for 15 years this year.
And God put... Yeah, that's good, isn't it?
That's awesome.
And God put lifestyle Christianity in your heart.
Yeah.
Tell us what lifestyle Christianity is and what you're doing for and with people.
Well, we needed to have a name, so I figured what better name than we're supposed to live a lifestyle as a Christian.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to just be Christian at a conference, just be Christians at a once-a-year thing. We're not supposed to just be Christians on Sunday. We're supposed to be Christians 24-7.
Yes.
And when I look at Christians...
And there's an appeal to that, especially among this generation. Probably after seeing maybe a lot of, you know, legalism in one generation of the church or whatever else it is, and to see that authenticity, what it seems to be. So that appeals to a lot of people. But liberalism back 200 years ago said this: Christianity is life, not doctrine. That goes back to Friedrich Schleiermacher, by the way. And nothing unique to him. But yes, doctrine matters. Theology matters. Okay? Godly, biblical theology needs to be about the head, the heart, and the hands. Don't buy this stuff that it's to be lived out. It's not to be taught. Something, again, that Todd White actually teaches. I've was going through a lot of clips today, and I heard a lot of this stuff.
It's a Christ-like one, a little anointed one. And the reality of a Christian is a person that has been anointed by God. Christ comes and lives inside of us when we're born again. But God wants to rest upon us too. He lives in me for me, but he rests upon me for others. And so I need to see hell destroyed.
Okay, he's speaking really fast, but I want to make sure I'm going to get everything I'm saying.
In me for me, but he
False. It's not for you. If it was for you, we'd have no hope. Yes, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in us. Christ dwells in us as well. But to be changed and conformed to the image of Christ, but primarily for the glory of God and for the sake of Christ, what he did in the place of sinners. See, it's all very man-centered. You have to start with any theology, whether salvation or anything else, with God, not man.
It's upon me for others. And so I need to see hell destroyed on a daily basis. And I need to see the kingdom of darkness under our feet every day. Yeah. The only way that I can do that is to understand my identity. So Lifestyle Christianity is a ministry to help develop a believer's sense of awareness of identity and who they are.
Yeah.
Who they're called to be. Because our mission statement isn't...
Just for a second there, because I hear that kind of stuff a lot from the charismatic movement. Just change the camera angle there for a second. Okay, so, and this refers, kind of harkens back to the language used in Genesis 3:15 about the first, basically the first gospel, Genesis 3:15, which says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Right? And this idea of the seed of the woman crushing the head of the serpent is also repeated in Romans 16:20. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. And how do we do that? By submitting to Christ. There's nothing special. I don't even want to say that is special. That is the working of the Spirit of God in your heart, you know, changing, conforming you to the image of Christ. But it's not the stuff that you'll hear from a lot of charismatic preachers. For it even says in verse 19, giving context to verse 20 in Romans 16, "For your obedience has become known to all, your obedience. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, and I want you to be wise in that which is good and simple concerning evil, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly." Again, similar language that is used in brain went blank here, Genesis 3:15.
To get to heaven. If our mission statement was to get to heaven, when I prayed a prayer and got born again, I'd have disappeared.
Wow.
The destination point is heaven. The mission statement is 1 John 3:8, to destroy the works of the devil every day of my life, everywhere I go, in every situation.
Well, the main reason is to glorify God in everything we do. It's all to glorify God. Why? God does everything he does, and this is in like places like Romans 9, to show his attributes, to show his love, his long-suffering, his justice in sending people to hell. Again, this is talked about largely in Romans chapter 9.
Whether I'm at work, whether I'm at Walmart, whether I'm at McDonald's, no matter where I'm at, I am to hear God's voice, destroy the works of the devil, hearing God's voice for people, miracles, the prophetic, and all of that is the byproduct of sonship.
Is there any situation that you find yourself in that you're intimidated by?
No way.
No way.
No way. See, I don't have a fear thing, so the fear factor is gone. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And if our sound mind's intact, not just by the memorization of Scripture, but actually of becoming the very Word itself.
Right.
God didn't want us to just memorize the Word. He wants us to become the Word. So when the Word...
Here's a major heresy. God wants you to become the Word. To become the Word. Not just memorize it. Not just... having the Word of God dwell within you that you would not sin against Him, but to become the Word. This is Kenneth Copeland's teaching, by the way, as well. Trying to refer. The whole point of this is, this whole program is to show that Todd White is really just a repackaged, is it the 21st century? Yeah, 21st century Kenneth Copeland. And he admits it, okay? And I, for the sake of those people who may be either new to the Christian faith or have no background in the Christian faith and may think that Todd White is a good teacher. The man is not. The man is a heretic, demonstrably, on multiple levels. But he's better at concealing his error than the Kenneth Copelands, than Benny Hinn's and all that society has changed. He kind of embraces, in the same way Bethel, well, except Bethel kind of keep everything behind a paywall, but, you know, he's been followed around by a camera, and this is his entire life. He's not one person in one place and one person in another. That, people love that. Oh, yeah, have a camera on, everything, and I'm, as long as you're authentic, even if you're a heretic most of the time, people don't mind. Same in the church, by the way, too. Do you know what, right? You stick a camera on somebody 24/7, doesn't matter what heresies they teach, people like them. People like him because they think, well, as long as he's consistently heretical. No, he's a heretic. He's a heretic. He may be nice to people, he might be nice to you, but the man's a heretic. Man is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. Okay? There are people online, and they put up tons and tons of videos, and every single thing that they seem to do ends up on the internet. They're heretics, but people will make excuses for them because they'll say, well, you know, at least they're authentic. I remember talking to a brother on Sunday about that word authentic. That word authentic has been given such a bad name. What they think is good, but if you're authentically evil, well...
When the Word becomes flesh.
Yeah, and it's actually true. Somebody was saying that, yeah, he does have fear. We all, look, I have fear at times. A lot of times, my sinful nature. Don't buy that nonsense. You know, I have no fear. That's to fit in with his theology. Okay.
Was the Word made flesh? God wants our flesh to become the very Word that we say we know.
God wants our flesh to become the very Word we say we know. God wants our flesh to become the Word. Which fits in with him saying you need to live the gospel. This is blasphemy. This is saying you become God manifest in the flesh. This is the same stuff you'll hear from Paula White. Remember Paula White? It was a video from a couple of years ago, and she's now been promoted, sadly, by Donald Trump. And Paula White was actually, I think she was at this Southwest Believers Convention. Maybe. I think I saw she was at one of these. That she said in one clip in one of our programs, the fact that she's a female preacher probably gives it away that she's not really interested in biblical authority, but I digress, that she said, along with another gentleman I'm not aware of who he is, that Jesus is not the only begotten. This is a large part of the charismatic movement. I don't know if it's the majority, right? But this is the problem with the charismatic movement. The word of faith movement, right? It makes man God, and it brings down God to fulfill the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life for that person. Health, wealth, and prosperity, everything you'd ever want. But it's a bit repackaged with Todd White. Todd White will say, well, you know, it's not about goods, but you'll be a radical giver. You give away things, and the Lord will bless you. Can you imagine what you can do with the money? You need to take it away from Satan. Kenneth Copeland says exactly the same thing when he's confronted. He says exactly the same thing.
spending time in communion with God, and He's actually making me actively become that very word that I believe. Wow. Then I can.
He's making me become the word, not become, be changed and conformed to the image of His Son, to be more and more like Him. That's sanctification, but to become the word.
In total victory. If I'm to reign as a king in this life through the free gift of righteousness, the abundance of grace that God gave me, then I'm to reign as royalty in this world, and I'm to destroy the works of darkness every day. Through the abundance of grace that's been bestowed upon me.
That's right.
The devil's not allowed to get away with death, loss, and destruction, stealing.
But he believes this is like total victory, every single part. He doesn't believe he sins. I may be wrong. I'm not an expert on Kenneth Copeland. I don't even know if Kenneth Copeland goes that far.
Amen. Amen. You know, there's a move of God going on around the world and a hunger for Him. In fact, we had Chris Estrada on last night. He was talking about what was going on in Lima and some of the places he is. Yeah. What is fueling that hunger and cry out for God?
Man, I just, gosh.
I think I've lost count with the amount of times that, you know, either the God Channel or TBN or say that line, you know, there's a move on or some. They say it a lot. See very little evidence of it. Look, if there's actually a revival in an area, you're going to notice a difference in regards to sin. You're going to notice crime rate plummeting. If there's actually a revival in an area, just say you've got a small village of about 1,000 people, and a couple hundred people claim to get saved. Well, you're going to notice a difference in, you know, people's consumption of sinful things. For example, you know, if there's a gambling shop, maybe it'll go out of business or something like that. You're going to notice a difference. But a lot of times what happens is there's a revival that takes place, quote-unquote revival that takes place, and nothing changes in the area. People make a decision and nothing changes in the life. Nothing changes in the area. Nothing.
I believe that every Christian can walk this way. Like we have a university right down the road here in Watauga. And we have.
And he means sinless. If you're confused what he's talking about, every Christian can walk this way. Every Christian can walk like Christ. And he's talking about complete victory where you don't sin. And if you're not going to get in every single one of his quote-unquote sermons, but he does teach it. Stick around long enough to listen to his stuff, and
have probably between 400 and 500 students that are going to be registered for the September 9th semester coming in.
Yeah.
And what we're doing is we're teaching people who they are, but when you find out who you are and you've tasted and see that God is good, you don't want to have your cake and eat it too, because you've tasted something real. And once you've tasted Him, you can never get enough of Him. You can never get enough. So all of a sudden, I'm full with God. I'm full with His presence. I'm content with who He is. But I'm hungry for more, because there's always more.
Yeah.
And I want to create.
There's an element of truth in that. Just for anybody to listen to. Yeah. If you're truly born again, regenerated as the Spirit of God, the more you get of Him, the more your appetite will increase. But you will not be sinless this side of eternity.
An appetite in people that's already there.
Yeah.
But the more you teach a person who they are, the more they hunger and thirst for the right stuff.
Yeah. Look right at that camera right there and love on the people and minister to them real quick.
All right. Well, I just know there's a whole bunch of people in here that need miracles, because Jesus is in the miracle working business. And so I'm just going to pray. And if you have any kind of pain or any kind of sickness in your body whatsoever, I don't care if it's a joint, I don't care if it's a finger that's stubbed, even if it's a headache, no matter what it is, God will heal you. So if you're in this room right now.
Now, I'm going to just show you how this is pretty easy to do. You got people who actually believe that these guys actually perform miracles and all that kind of stuff. So you've got people who've got a bias towards believing what he's saying right off the bat. And he's picking stuff that is very hard to prove one way or the other. Headaches, a sore finger, whatever else the case is.
And you need a miracle. Please stand to your feet.
They're standing all over.
Jesus is so good.
Yes, he is.
All right, so somebody right next to you, all I need them to do is put their hand on you. Just rest their hand on you. So, Father, I just thank you in the name of Jesus right now. We command all sickness, all disease.
And I find this particularly, I wanted to look through his quote-unquote prayer as well. Can you imagine going before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and commanding him to do something? No, you cry out to him in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, in whom he is well pleased. And you say, if these things are pleasing before you, you do not, he commands us. This is another problem with the whole charismatic movement. They're commanding God to do something. You know what? Because charismatic theology, a large segment of it, makes mere men God. And it makes God, the God of heaven and earth, kind of like, you know, the genie in Aladdin or something like that, blasphemously so, and turns God into an idol.
Every bit right now, every joint, be healed or arthritis, leave in Jesus' name. I thank you that Parkinson's leaves, that cancer leaves, that leukemia leaves, that diabetes leaves now in Jesus' name. Heart conditions be made whole, lung conditions.
And if it doesn't, blame the lack of faith in the people who are there, of course. Just,
be healed. Asthma, get out. I thank you for brand new knees, brand new hips. I thank you for 100% wholeness. Jesus, you're amazing.
You know what's going to happen, right? A number of different people are going to have a euphoria. For example, before this program, I had a kind of a bit of a headache coming on, and I wasn't feeling great. And then starter program comes on, and get a bit of kick of adrenaline, and you feel a little bit better. Is it a miracle? No, it's adrenaline. The mind is a powerful thing, I tell you. It can convince you of almost anything. And you go home and go, oh yeah, I had a headache at the start of the program. Maybe I was healed by... I may be facetious, but we can convince ourselves... All this stuff, it's all stuff that you can convince yourself over. They're ready for this guy to start healing and all this kind of stuff. So, but you don't see the apostles going around healing headaches in the New Testament. Stuff that could be independently verified. People were raised from the dead and things like that. People who could never walk. And if it was false, it was easily demonstrated. Straightable. This stuff is intentionally vague.
Every headache I command to leave now. Yes. All migraines cease to exist and never ever return right now in Jesus' name.
Yes.
I thank you that deafness would be healed right now. Ears pop in Jesus' name right now. I command ears to open in the mighty name of Jesus right now. Every disc be made whole. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Father, I thank you. You are the God of miracles. You're the only God that does miracles. Because Jesus, you paid the price by the stripes on your body. And by your stripes we're healed. So in Jesus' name, we enforce the victory on the cross.
Yes.
Right now, in Jesus' name. Every bit.
And this shows the fallacy that supposedly the charismatic movement exalts the Holy Spirit. It doesn't. Again, it takes the place. Man takes the place of the Holy Spirit and just says, strips away the sovereignty of God from God and gives it to man. And it's the same error. They're going right back to the Garden of Eden. I'm not saying that every charismatic church teaches this, but this gospel and this stuff is, you know what? It's far more mainstream than people realize within the charismatic movement. The fact that somebody like Michael Brown, who has written the book, it was about a year ago, I did a critique on Michael L. Brown, who's seen as the credible and the academic and the orthodox end of the charismatic movement. He did a book on, it wasn't Dangerous Fire, Playing with Holy Fire. That's the name of the book, yeah. Playing with Holy Fire. He never named any names, of course not, because he kept everything nebulous and, anecdotal. But on the program, he didn't seem to have a problem with Kenneth Copeland either. And, you know, like, what does it take for somebody to say, no, I'm not, I don't approve of that guy anymore? Not even kicking people in the head. Who's that guy who kicked people in the boots? Oh, people, somebody remind me in the chat room. Bye, Benjamin. brother in the Lord who I know from Dublin. He has to leave us, unfortunately, but God bless, brother. So this is a problem all over the charismatic movement. I know we might think this is the extreme fringe. This is the mainstream. This is the mainstream. A brother in the Lord who's probably one of the best researchers I know on this topic, Justin Peters, because he's dedicated years and years towards it. He basically said the same thing. This is the mainstream. Oh, Todd Bentley. Thank you very much for... Yeah, Todd Bentley. How long did it take? Now, I think Michael Brown did say, no, I don't approve of Todd Bentley's ministry and all this kind of stuff. It took him being... Wasn't he involved in adultery and all this kind of stuff? What does it take? What does it take for somebody to go, no, this guy is dangerous and a heretic. Not kicking in the head with a boot. But, you see, I realized then, later, that Todd Bentley's nonsense has historic precedent within the charismatic movement. Smith, Wigglesworth, Sid Roth, and that story he told. Sid Roth is good friends with Michael Brown, and of him throwing a baby, and he saying it, threw a baby against the wall and got healed, apparently. That's a great story to be telling people. What happens when somebody throws their baby, believing that they're a prophet, and the baby dies? I'm serious. This is what I did a video on. Myself and Justin Peters, about a year ago, we talked about this. Maybe over a year ago now. I think it was March of 2018 we talked about this. There's no way within the charismatic movement, there's no way, they accept everything. They don't rule anything out or in. Everything's kind of like, well, maybe that's true.
I command sleeping disorders to go. I command eating disorders to go in Jesus' mighty name right now.
Yes.
Blood conditions be healed in Jesus' name. I command HIV. I command every blood disorder to be healed right now. Hepatitis C, I curse you and command you, bow to the name of Jesus right now. Father, I thank you for complete wholeness, and I thank you for fullness of joy that comes from salvation right now. Rotator cuff, be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name right now. God, thank you for complete wholeness. Lord, I thank you that the price that heaven paid determines our value. Your value is not determined by your mind.
And he keeps throwing that heresy, determines our value. The price that, and by the way, heaven never went bankrupt. That's nonsense as well. He said that in another place. I can't remember where that was. But the price paid on the cross, his suffering obedience on the cross and throughout his life, paid for our sin, the blackness of our sin. He showed love upon worthless worms like you and me. If you're listening to this and you actually trust in Jesus Christ, why did he choose you over, say, your lost neighbor? Now, maybe your lost neighbor comes to Christ future in their life, Lord willing, okay? But why did you come to Christ in multitudes? In other words, he passes over and hardens. Why? Is it because you're so great and God loves you so much? Yes, God does love you for the sake of Christ. But is there some difference between you and now? Why did he do it? To the praise of the glory of his grace. If you find the reason why God elected you before the foundation of the world over some other person, you have entered into Pelagianism. You have entered into a works salvation where you're somehow better. God loves righteousness and he hates sin, does he not? Yeah. And he's angry with the sinner every day. We know this from the Psalms. So what are we worth? The wages of sin is death, and the wrath of God abides in us outside of Christ Jesus. The more we emphasize the blackness of our sin, not our value or anything like that, it was for the sake of Christ. This is a man-centered false gospel.
Mom or your dad, your value is determined by heaven's price. Heaven thought that much of you that God sent his only son for you.
Yes.
The price that he paid for you makes you worth the cost. And the cost was Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Praise God.
If God has healed your body in this room right now, I want you to check right now all over the room. Check whatever it was. Just check. If healing has happened in your body, I want you to shout right now.
Woo, that's good.
Come on.
That's good.
Jesus.
Wow. Amen. Well, I know that you have to go.
Yeah, but they're all people who believe in this stuff, and they're all people who will make the same excuses when actually nothing happens. And it's a psychological trick. Okay. So we'll take a wee break over here and we're going to look at one or two more clips, time permitting. And somebody brought up a question in the chat room. I don't know a ton about Smith Wigglesworth, and I'll be honest, the first time I ever read about Smith Wigglesworth was in Costi Hinn, and he had a co-writer with him as well, Defining Deception, good book, and I recommend buying and reading it. And Costi and Anthony Wood, I think that Anthony J. Wood, they both wrote that book together. And they wrote about Smith Wigglesworth. And I also heard about Smith Wigglesworth from a charismatic like Sid Roth, who talked about, again, very positively about kicking a baby and throwing a baby against the wall and the baby getting healed. And again, I say, what happens when somebody claims inspiration from Sid Roth for killing their own baby? And Michael Brown is good friends with Sid Roth. That is psychotic nuts and something that even I don't even think cult members would even do, right? Michael Brown, who's seen, I keep picking on Michael Brown because he's seen as the intellectual heavyweight and the great debater and all this kind of stuff within the movement. He hosted a couple of weeks ago It's Supernatural by Sid Roth. And he interviewed Jonathan Cahn, who has some bizarre theories as well. Are we going to kind of go, this doesn't matter? Stuff that was shunned and seen as really strange for how long within the church? It's only really in the last 100-odd years that Pentecostalism, charismatic-style doctrine, has really been wholesale embraced in the church. Prior to that, even during the Reformation, Zwickau prophets, many of the Anabaptists, who are kind of revolutionary, some were kind of dangerous, not all, but some. Some were kind of passive, some weren't, and some denied the Trinity. That was the problem with the Anabaptists. There was no one type of Anabaptist during that time period. Yeah, so that's all I really know about Smith Wigglesworth. And as you go back throughout the Pentecostal movement, the grave errors that you see from the modern men, you kind of go, wow, this already has been done by some of these people, whether Catherine Kuhlman or anybody else like that. And there seems to be a casting off as well of the authority of Scripture with women preaching in the church. That's clearly not allowed in Scripture. Is it First Timothy chapter 2, verse 12? And there's other places as well. Male headship. And Paul says to Timothy not to permit a woman to usurp authority or to teach. So, and the whole point about that is, you know, not that we can have a difference of opinion. No, this is so explicitly clear. This one issue, and later, usually what happens is when churches embrace female ministers, down the line, they will also embrace homosexuality because they've cast off the authority of Scripture. That's what it's all about. It's not that women can't talk. It's not that women aren't very good speakers often. There's many women around who would be far better speakers than some of the men who do speak around the place, okay? But we're talking, the issue is not about that. The issue is about the authority of Scripture and us submitting to it. All right. What should we look at next? We're going to look at, not all of this, but this is Todd. This is something that made people kind of stand up and kind of go, oh, well, Todd White and Kenneth Copeland, not much of a difference there. We're going to listen to this. This is Todd White and Kenneth Copeland, a mandate to multiply. Again, we won't be listening to all of it.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd White. We're here at the Future Home of Lifestyle Christianity, the training center where we're going to do that school. And I have the privilege of introducing one of the amazing fathers in the body of Christ. Actually, he's really special to me. And I've just for years and years since I've been saved, have just looked at the rock solid ministry of Kenneth Copeland and Gloria Copeland and just what they've done for the body of Christ. And I'm overwhelmed with the fact that he would even be here today. And I'm just so thankful. He's a mentor in my life. He's a spiritual father to not just me, but so many different people that are out there. And I just, what I love the most is the integrity. I love the most the integrity and the power of the truth of God's word. And it's just a privilege.
He is the, if you're going to say, who is the most, one of the most evil men, false prophets in the church? Who is that poster child of everything that you, even atheists and people outside the church, says everything is wrong with the church? You know, Inside Edition will go up and try to get a scoop and all that. Kenneth Copeland is the poster child, poster whatever, of what the left wing loves to see Christianity as, this guy. And that evil has been repackaged. He's admitting it. That evil has been repackaged, whether man is a little god. That is taught by both of them. And Todd White isn't hiding this back. He's... There's no hiding from... I think one of the things as well, we think that the prosperity gospel movement is going away because, you know, Kenneth Copeland's getting a bit older, Benny Hinn's getting older. It's not. It's getting repackaged. And Bill Johnson, it's a bit clever. It's a bit more marketing. They know the way the internet works. That's where some of the stuff is kept off the internet. Todd White's approach is a little bit different. He kind of sticks not everything up, but a lot of things up. That program I did, how he believes that Jesus was not born as God, a heretical teaching, he unlisted that video. You can't find that video on YouTube. I have it bookmarked somewhere, so if anybody wants me to send it to them, they can. But he unlisted it for some odd reason. Well,
it's Kenneth. To you today. All right, bless you. Here's Kenneth.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Todd.
Yeah, I tried. I was going to cry.
Todd, Jesus himself told you to do this.
Yes, he did.
Can you imagine anyone having an opportunity to sow into the Apostle Paul's ministry and they didn't do it?
No. Gosh.
Well, right there in the book of Philippians, no church communicated with me in the gospel except you in giving and receiving. This is God's.
Amen.
It's an opportunity to invest in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
My Lord, man. What does it take to get you excited? I get a chance.
Yeah.
I get an opportunity here.
Amen.
What if I'd have had an opportunity to invest and Paul the Apostle's ministry.
What gets Kenneth Copeland excited is money.
And I get to heaven and find out, this is so important.
Amen.
This thing is big.
It is.
God told you to do it.
Amen.
He knows what to do about it.
Yes, sir.
He'll fix it.
Yes,
sir. He'll work it. He's already planned it. It was.
And you see, then, if you question it, you see, here's hearing, or he's claiming, he could just be making the whole thing up. Well, it's three possibilities, right? Either it's demonic, he's lying, or he's got psychological issues, and he's hearing voices. None of them are good, okay? I have my suspicions of which one that is, but I digress. We don't know. The guys of old were very, especially Kenneth Copeland. Go back to his videos from the 80s and the 90s. And you know, he's screaming out, money! You know, he's just like, this generation keeps it far more veiled. The Todd Whites, the Hillsongs as well. Hillsong's kind of a prosperity gospel as well.
Plan before the foundation of the world, and Jesus said, anyone that gives for my sake in the gospel, he shall receive in this life a hundredfold, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Amen.
What is it about that you don't understand? I mean, come on, man. What? Hey, what? You know, the Bible is so simple, we've had to have a real high-paid help to misunderstand it.
Yeah.
And Jesus said exactly.
And the torturing of that verse is, to him is, well, those things are monetary wealth. And he even said on Inside Edition, I'm a very wealthy man. He's worth, Kenneth Copeland is worth some $700 million. $700 million. And you have to, in order to remain under his ministry for any length of time, you need to not read the Word of God and look at things in their context. Because it's very clear in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For he that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, he's got, how many planes does he have? Is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of his Father abides forever.
Amen to say.
That's right.
I want to point on that. Not that I desire a gift, I desire a fruit that may abound to your account. Did you know you had a heavenly account?
Amen. I do now. All of our conversations, it's overwhelming, just the fact of not understanding this and just the revelation that I've learned just by reading the blessing book, the Law of Prosperity.
There is two major books. Found the picture on a... I haven't read these books. I'm not claiming to be an expert on these books. Now, there's the Kenneth Copeland Law of Prosperity and also the Blessing of the Lord. So the kind of, wonderful stuff there.
Just been overtaken by the reality of blessing that came through the Abrahamic Covenant the whole way through. And then we're seed of Abraham.
And you hit the key right there.
That's it.
And I'm not going to spend more time on that. Basically, he's he was confronted, right, by one of the Inside Edition reporters. And that was made news a couple of months ago. And he said, oh, we're in the Abrahamic Covenant. You know, Abraham was exceedingly rich, by the way. Oh, all right. I have not changed the camera action there. I do not have an engineer, so that's why sometimes things might go wrong here. So, sadly, that is what I mean. You see, there can be sometimes biblical terminology because by faith in Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 4, we've been, our father is Abraham by faith. But we're not been promised health, wealth, and prosperity in this life. If you want to think about it like that, we've been promised perfect health, wealth, and prosperity, heavenly wealth, in the life to come. In heaven. Spiritual blessings. But, with Kenneth Copeland's putting forward, you can be rich here now, and that is a sign of God's blessings upon you here and now. Somebody should have told the apostles, I guess, when many of them suffered and died, and many of the prophets, and, I mean, did Noah know about this? I mean, he had only 8 converts in his how many years of ministry, and he was a preacher of righteousness for how long? It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. Now, it doesn't mean that every single person who is a follower of Christ throughout the centuries were always dirt poor. But it was the norm. It was the norm. And the scriptures are very, very clear. Do not love the world or the things that are of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Got a question there from the chat room. Thank you, Martha, there. And any good book on the sovereignty of God? A.W. Pink comes to mind. And also, I haven't read this yet, but it's definitely on the list of things to read. A.W. Pink's book is short. And I'm trying to think of Stephen Charnock's. If you want to get something longer, it's like 2 volumes. It's the first 2 volumes of his works. So that's kind of on my to-read list. But something more I've seen a lot of quotations from. So I think A.W. Pink is a good one to go with at the beginning, definitely, because A.W. Pink's book is maybe 150 pages or something. It's short, anyway. And I'm trying to think, if anybody else can think of a good book on the sovereignty of God, let me know. I mean, there's various different ways you can look at the sovereignty of God as well. You can look at the sovereignty of God in evangelism. I think, you know, what's happened in the modern church, we kind of look for speciality topics. The reformers of old would have just done it in as part of systematic theology, and you'll get a lot about this. Like if you feel so inclined to read John Calvin's Institutes of the Christian Religion, he'll talk a lot about the sovereignty of God, and get, as I recommended the other week, the Battles translation, because that's far easier than the Beveridge translation to read. If anybody has any other suggestions, anything on Calvinism, we've got to look at every doctrine through the lens of we serve an almighty God. He is almighty, he's omnipotent, okay? And all-powerful. Nothing prevents the Lord from carrying out his will. Not the will of man. So, and this is any decent book on Calvinism. Lorraine Bettner, The Reformed Doctrine of Predestination. Actually, that's, if you want something small, A.W. Pink. Good read as well. And if you want something a bit bigger, Lorraine Bettner, The Reformed Doctrine of Predestination. And Bettner doesn't write in a too difficult style. It's about Calvinism, but look, most people believe in the sovereignty of God and everything else except salvation and evangelism and all sorts of other stuff. Or bad things if it comes to the charismatic movement. They'll claim that God is sovereign over all the good things, but not over the bad things. But apart from that, it's usually over salvation is the issue. So if you acknowledge what the Bible teaches about the sovereignty of God in salvation, something that kind of covers everything. Hopefully that helps. Again, Lauren Bettner, the Reformed Doctrine of Predestination. Okay, so how far are we going? An hour and a half. So let's see. Try and get through this fast, actually. I got some more clips to play. And how bad, somebody might ask the question, how bad is Kenneth Copeland anyway? I just watched a little bit of the convention that was taking place a couple of days ago. The 2019 Southwest Believers Convention. And here's kind of some of the stuff you can expect.
I will bring the city health and cure. I'll cure you and reveal unto you the abundance of peace and truth. Jeremiah 33:6. I will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. Ezekiel 34:16. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I shall put my spirit in you and you shall live. Ezekiel 37:5-14. Let's just stop right here. All bronchitis. All asthma. What's that? What? David, what's the other one? COPD. What? COP? Huh? Emphysema. Oh, draw that full breath. Get a full bag of wind. I was healed from asthma when I was a little boy. I know what that is, man. I slept sitting up in bed and all that. And Mama just prayed it off of me. Glory to God. Oh, but I can remember it. I can remember it. Couldn't run and play without wheezing and all that. Glory to God. I haven't had an allergy in so many years. I haven't had a cold.
It's all about what you can get from God and making God into a genie and serving you. And you become sovereign over everything around you. It's all about making you sovereign and not God. That's the whole point of this whole thing.
In years. It's too late to start now. Because I stood on that word. He has taken sickness from the midst of me. And it got down in me. I was driving out the driveway at our home. And it got down in me and I shouted out loud, I'll never be sick another day in my life. He's taken sickness from the midst of me and just started saying it. And just started saying it. Just started saying it. Just started saying it. Just started saying it. Glory to God.
Let's say it now. We'll follow you.
Sickness.
Sickness.
And disease.
And disease.
Has been taken.
Has been taken.
From the midst of me.
From the midst of me.
Therefore.
Therefore,
I believe it.
I believe it.
I say it.
I say it.
I will never be.
And maybe it's changed, but I can't understand why Michael Brown has a. See, I suppose if you look at the Brownsville revival and think that he was part of, and how outlandish that was as well, then you'll kind of see. And this is another reason why. Look. Our approach to many of these aberrant movements has gotten so squishy over the last number of years. He claims that he's never going to get sick again. He's never even gotten a cold. Do you believe that? Does anybody actually believe? And you see, the thing is, well, you got a cold, feeling a bit run down. Well, you must never had enough faith. And it's demonic, it's sinful, it's wrong. And he claims that he's never even had a cold. Because in case somebody's thinking, well, you know how bad it exactly is Kenneth Copeland, or how dangerous is he actually? Now, let's go back a little bit before we wrap up the program. We will not be going over the two-hour mark, that's for sure. Because YouTube takes forever, actually, to render this. If anything goes above 2 hours, so we won't be doing that. There's a channel on YouTube called... I won't be playing this in the video. I'm just going to be playing the audio for those watching live. This is some of the clips. This is some of the, I don't know who does the channel, but he's put together a number of different clips about Todd White. It's called Popular Gospel. And the video is called The Gospel According to Todd White. And we'll probably won't play all of it. But a number, see, again, I just said, there's clips of what Todd White has been saying, but they're very short. And unless you have a context of what he's been teaching, and like I've listened through whole sermons of his, going walking the dog and stuff like that. It's torture, but I think it needs to be done. Not obsessed about. I would urge people to, if it's useful to you, or maybe someone you know, and you want to point them towards this program, and maybe it'll help, praise God. But if you don't, if you've got some people, here's what kills me, right? Some people with no contact with the charismatic movement, they might not even know anybody in the charismatic movement, but they spend all the time online giving out about the charismatic movement. Get involved in your church. Be involved in your church, prayer meetings and all that. And if you have some time left over after that and you feel like you want to share around a thing debunking tongues or whatever, great. I mean, the whole point of this program is not to be bashing charismatics. The whole point of this program is hopefully something that has been said and shared in the context of this program can help somebody get out of it, or can at least correct them in some error or whatever else it is, okay? So that's my hope and my prayer in looking at this. These are clips of Todd White's quote-unquote gospel.
So in my life, where this thing started was that I realized that for 34 years of my life, not one person came up to me and told me that Jesus loved me. Oh. So I lived here in America. I mean, I was a horrible person. I hurt so many people. But nobody came up to me and said, hey, God loves you and has a plan over your life.
I'm not aware of the apostles doing that either. I'm just, can anybody point out anywhere in the Bible where the apostles go around, or the prophets of the Old Testament go around and that Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? Not the gospel. The gospel commands all men everywhere to repent of their sins and believe the gospel and put their faith, their confidence, their hope, and to trust in Jesus Christ. To turn from sin. You cannot serve two masters. And trust in Christ and in Christ alone. There's nothing there about God loves you. Now, if you're breathing today and you're outside of Christ, there's a sense in which there's a type of love, the love of beneficence, the love of benevolence, but they're not the type of love that God has for his people who are in Christ. That type of love where God delights in his children, that type of love, God does not have for those outside of Christ. The wrath of God, the holy hatred of God abides upon them. Now, this does not mean that God shows no love to people who are outside of Christ. There is a type of love, love of benevolence, love of beneficence. And that means, you know, God has blessings upon the righteous and the unrighteous, and good gifts. And the fact that you're alive and not in hell right now, quite frankly. The Lord has been merciful to you and long-suffering with you. And if you are not in Christ this very day, the fault lies with you. Not with God, but with you.
shared the gospel with me. And this is what he shared. He said that Jesus didn't just die for me because I was so horrible. He paid a price for me because I was worth the blood. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, see, the cross isn't just the revelation of your sin, it's the revealing of your value. And to one that was worthless and valueless, that made no sense. But he kept persisting that it was true. And I said, whatever. If he wants my life, he can have it, because I don't want it there. And that was my prayer.
A lot of Christians won't pick up this.
Not a very clear testimony. So the gospel, rather than being, you see, if it's like, you're so amazing, you're so wonderful, the value is put on men, mere men, and not upon God. It cost, the reason Jesus had to die was because of the heinousness of the sin of men. There was no other way that propitiation, satisfaction for sin could be achieved. No other way. Men are so evil that it required the death of Christ, his only begotten son. Not that you're so amazing he had to die.
Book. And get in the book to find out what God says about us. Jesus didn't come into the world because you were such a grotesque sinner.
By the way, you can probably, there's different clips. I'm not going to be stopping all the time, but you can kind of hear the difference in the quality. Some are from TV programs and different things like that.
He came into the world because you were a son that lost your identity. See, the cross to me isn't the revelation of my sin.
This is the clip he got in trouble with, was it about 2 years ago now?
Is actually the revealing of my value.
See, the cross isn't the revelation.
So he's taught this quite a bit.
...of your sin, the cross is the revelation of your value. See, when you come to the cross, yes, sin is an issue. You come to Jesus, but something underneath of that sin must have been of great importance for heaven to pay such a high price to redeem your life.
Something underneath of that sin.
Again, you're just so amazing, you're so precious, this is the message of the gospel, apparently. Could you get anything more? Could you distort the gospel any more and come up with something any more man-centered than that?
It's been of great value for heaven to go bankrupt to get me back.
Heaven to go bankrupt? How did heaven go bankrupt, exactly? Explain that to me. How did heaven go bankrupt? Bankrupt. The only thing in Scripture that is bankrupt, morally bankrupt, is the sinner. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God.
Something underneath of that sin was of great importance for the Father to go bankrupt, to get you back, to come and get you back. So Jesus paid such a high price for me on that tree. And when I see that, I see my value.
So the worth that determines you is the price that Jesus paid. If the blood of Jesus determines your worth and heaven went bankrupt to get you back, that makes you pretty worth it.
See, we've said that we're worth.
That's the message of the world, isn't it? That's even the L'Oreal ad. You're worth it. You're amazing. You deserve better. The politicians say that. So lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You're so amazing, you're so fantastic. That's the message of the LGBT movement. You be you, because you're so amazing. If you're so amazing and so fantastic, really what it's saying is you don't have to repent at all.
And we're worms in the dirt. Right. Not realizing that that's what Satan is. Satan's a worm in the dirt, and he's worthless, and he's trying.
And we, and our, if you're outside of Christ, you're of your father, the devil, and of his works you will do.
To recreate himself in the soul of Christians,
Yeah.
When you find out your value because God paid a high price for you, and you find out that you are valuable before the Father, all of a sudden you get this overwhelming thing inside of you called Him.
There's a scale. The blood of Jesus and your life, and they're even. The blood of Jesus doesn't outweigh your life this much and you're way up here and you're worthless. No. The scales, God's scales, righteous scales, He brings the value of the blood to equality with your life and says, I will send...
Do I have to explain how blasphemous this is? That He makes the blood of your life... just play that again. Even though He's a heretic, let's represent it properly.
Scales. Righteous scales. He brings the value of the blood to equality with your life and says...
He brings the value of His... Sorry.
Value of the blood to equality with your life and says...
His blood is worth far more than my life, because He is God. The reason He could pay for the sins of His people, all of them, when the Father poured out His wrath upon His Son, the reason why that had value in order to pay for everything, because He is of infinite value. I am not of infinite value. I am a worm. Preaching on Mephibosheth and his attitude before David and the kindness of God that David showed Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel chapter 9. And Mephibosheth, it's kind of like a picture of the gospel there. His response to David's kindness toward him because of the sake of Jonathan, who he had a covenant with, Mephibosheth said, I can't remember the exact words. It's like how... It's a dead dog as I. A dead dog. That should be our attitude. We are nothing. He is everything. The gospel, you know, the doctrines of grace, they make everything of God and nothing of man.
I will send my Son because they are worth the value of my Son. Anything less than that is biblically incorrect. Because God thought so highly of you that He sent His Son and thought that you were worth it. So He sowed His...
So, there's more of that. Sadly, there's more of that. He's taught that in a lot of different places. So, if you want to watch the entire video of that compilation, The Gospel According to Todd White. And I've heard it in many different places myself. But, you know, somebody's... been so good to compile a lot of clips from various different things. And there's also other things besides that in that video. The video is about 9 minutes and 50 seconds long. And other issues, but, you know, I don't know if you have to go any further with that. Now, remember how I was saying that we're going to go back to Kenneth Copeland. Now we're going to have a little Kenneth Copeland. Again, the whole point of this program is to hopefully to show that Todd White is repackaged Kenneth Copeland. And a lot of these cool NAR guys, New Apostolic Reformation, they might shy away from that term now, but whatever the case is, that you've got a replacing of the old guard, and they're a lot better at hiding it than the Kenneth Copelands and all that. Okay? They're slicker. They know the controversies that come up before, and they kind of hide it and cushion it under other terminology. So I was saying that Todd White and Kenneth Copeland's theology makes man like God, a sovereign God, and makes God basically subservient to man. I'm going to play one more clip. This is actually taken from American Gospel, Christ Alone. I have yet to actually get through that movie yet. I bookmarked it a bunch of times, and I've seen a number of different clips. It looks like a really good movie. I'm not trying to promote it or not or anything like that. I just haven't gotten around to it. There's a lot of great people in it. A lot of people who are really, really knowledgeable on that. You can get it on Vimeo, I think. So anyway, I digress. So this is a clip from that film. I'm just going to switch over. We nearly finished the program. Nearly finish in the next... few minutes.
Much like God as you could get. Ye was not a little like
as old as the garden.
And Adam is as much like God as you could get. Ye was not a little like God. He was not almost like God. He was not subordinate to God.
This is Kenneth Copeland speaking now. Kenneth Copeland is saying this. Again, this is a clip from American Gospel. Christ Alone, it's on Vimeo if you want to rent it or buy it. But it says here, Kenneth Copeland said that Adam wasn't even subordinate to God. He said he was not subordinate to God even.
The very first temptation, which led to the very first sin, was this desire to be just like God.
Just the same as...
Now, just if anybody's listening to this on the podcast edition, I didn't change... There we go. That's the screen I meant to have in front. Sorry, Megiddo TV viewers. The person who was, you heard there, was that was Justin Peters, in case anybody's wondering. Let's continue.
Jesus, when he came into the earth, he wasn't a lot like God. Adam in the Garden of Eden was God manifested in the flesh.
So there you have it. Basically the same thing that Todd White teaches. God, that Adam was God manifested in the flesh. I mean, I don't know what else can be said. If you've got any questions, I don't think there's any more from the chat room, but we will finish off there to try and keep the program under 2 hours. Any comments, megiddofilms@gmail.com, or any suggestions for programs, really appreciate it, actually, because sometimes I won't have a clue that something's going on, and somebody will send on something to me, and it's a tremendous help. It's been Paul Flynn. Talk to you again next Friday.